the great things that God has done in your life. Now, I know some people in this church were filled with the Holy Spirit at conference. I know that. Some children too. And we would love to hear from you. But I also know that in this church, God has done mighty things to people. I mean, you hear about what happens to somebody else and you think, well, what's happened with me is very insignificant. It's not. Because if God has done something in your life, it is very significant. And the Bible says, let the redeemed say so. That means you don't sit quiet. Let the redeemed speak up. Now, in the Bible, you know that this word of God is filled, particularly in the Gospels, the book of Acts, with the great things that God has done. In many respects, they were just ordinary, everyday things, because we can expect those same things today. Now, I know that some people are of the opinion that once they've told the church that God did something in their life, then they're free to not ever have to tell it again. But if God does something wonderful in your life, if Jesus visits you and heals you, or something special happens in your life, how many times have we read the stories? Over and over and over and over again. Is that right? So I believe your testimony should be told over and over and over again. And who cares if somebody's already heard it before? Who cares? Because there's always going to be somebody in church who has never heard it before. And in the Bible, testimonies are what they call exhortation. It's an exhortation. An exhortation can be a scripture, or it can be something special that's happened in your life to encourage others to trust in God and believe that He is able. Now, I'm just giving you time to think about it, because in a very short time, I'm going to hand the microphone over to those who would like to share something. Now, let's have some rules here. Keep it short. Okay. Number two, keep it focused on Jesus. And number three, it's not about you. It's about what God's done. Has it got that? Okay. All right. Now, you may like to just turn to your Bibles and to Acts chapter 3, verse 2. How about we all stand as we read God's word? Acts chapter 3, verse 2. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful. So the gate was called the Beautiful Gate. To ask alms. Okay, that's not physical alms. Otherwise, he was asking for alms and he got legs. But that means to beg. Okay, to ask alms. He was begging of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked them alms, in other words, for money. Now, Peter and John, let's realise, Peter and John went into this temple at least a couple of times every day, probably through the same gate, saw the same man sitting there many, many, many times. And this is going to help us to understand that sometimes when God wants to use you, it might be in a totally ordinary situation, but then all of a sudden He will prompt you, now is the time to do something. And that's what happened to Peter and John. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, that is, the beggar gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. So in other words, the beggar was not asking for a healing. He was just simply asking for money. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. You see, in the whole of this situation, there was no concept on the beggar's behalf or on behalf of Peter and John what was about to happen. This was something that just transpired right there on the spot. I don't believe that Peter and John that morning got up and said, "We're going to heal that man at the Gate Beautiful." I don't believe that was the case. The man at the Gate Beautiful had sat there every day ever since he was a very small child. He was not expecting anything else, but he was hoping for money or alms. But then in an instant, this all happened. Why? Because Peter and John knew in their heart that God wanted to do something, what they didn't know, and they just said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." This is the way God can work in your life. But if you miss it, then you've missed an opportunity. If you are a child of God, you need to listen to the Spirit of God telling you to do things. And it's not only to do with healing or deliverance. It can be in your life, giving you direction in your life. So we need to learn the voice of the Spirit of God. We need to know when He talks to us and directs us. Most of the time, it is not in your mind thinking about those things. It usually you're just about your daily living, and all of a sudden God will speak into your heart and tell you to do something, but you've got to do it right there and then. This is when, as we say, you've got to start stepping out on thin ice and know that God is going to support you, all right? Because you can't think through the things that God are going to do. You can't say He's going to do this, 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 and this. I've tried that many, many times. I've prayed to God and said, "Well, Lord, this is what I want. I want you to do this, then I want you to do this, I want you to do this, and I want you to do that." Guess what? I doubt if at any time that has happened precisely the way that I asked. Is that right, people? Most of the time it's surprise. He does something you didn't expect, and He does it a way you did not expect, because that's God. He said, "I will not give my glory to another," in the book of Isaiah. Twice He says it. And if we do the planning, then we get the glory. But if God does it His way, His time, He gets the glory. Amen. All right, so He said, "Silver and gold have I none. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones were strengthened. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Amen? Have you ever seen anything like that? I've actually seen something like this. I saw a crippled man healed the very day that I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And that this miracle had a great influence on me getting filled with the Holy Ghost. The preacher was in the pulpit and he was just preaching the Word of God. He was really at it. And then he just turned out like this and he went, "There's a man over here who needs to be healed." I don't think he knew who it was. He just pointed in that direction. And immediately, this man that I saw carried crippled into church leapt out of his seat. How did he know the preacher was speaking at him? Well, he knew that he had a great need. So this man leapt out of his seat. I mean, you can't call it church when you climb across the people to get into the aisleway. He actually walked across the people. He was so excited. And when he got into the aisleway, he just screamed and yelled and jumped and ran all over the place, shouting, "I'm healed! I'm healed! I'm healed!" Praise God. Even the preacher was... You see, because the preacher just... God spoke to him and he just acted. This is the way it happens. We plan too much and don't let God have His way. All right. So let's just clarify everything here. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. So this is actually in the temple now. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, because it was quite a ruckus going on. Obviously, they were probably giving a lot of attention to Peter and John as well. You men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look upon you? Why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man walk? Peter's saying, don't look at us. We didn't do this. We were just a means by which we could speak the word of God, and God did the work. You may be seated. If we go into the book, into the Gospels, I'm just pointing something out to you here, very important. If we go into the Gospels and look up the word healing, you will read there such words as, and I read now, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him, now look, he's talking about healing, they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases, that word divers means many, many diseases, and torments, and torments. If you've got a torment, Jesus can take care of that. And those which were possessed with devils. This is healing. When somebody is delivered of a demon, that is a healing. And those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them all. All right? He healed them all. So if we go to Matthew chapter 12, verse 15, another scripture in Matthew, and when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, that is from the Pharisees that were trying to trap him in his communication, and a great multitude followed him, and he healed them all. If you go through the Gospels, it clearly says Jesus healed them. Jesus healed them. If we leave the Gospels, when Jesus has died upon the cross and been resurrected, the whole conversation changes. No longer do we have the apostles and those saying, they healed them. Okay? It says, and they were healed. There's only one place in the book of Acts where it says that Paul healed. And I'll just see if I can find that here. Okay. In Acts 28, verse 8, and it came to pass that that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flax, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hand on him and healed him. Now, some people believe this points to the fact that people can be healers. All right? But if you look at the Greek, it doesn't exactly infer that Paul was the healer. He was the means by which God did the healing. This is important. I strongly believe there is no such thing as divine healers. He's the divine healer. And if we look in the Bible, it is in Jesus' name. That's the authority. It's in Jesus' name. In John 14:13, it says, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do." John 14:14, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." And then in John 15:16, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you in my name." And then finally in John 16:23, it says, "And in that day you shall ask, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it." That's speaking about today. All right? So he is not here now, but whatever we ask of God in Jesus' name, he will give it. Why? Because there's power in the name of Jesus. Why is there power in the name of Jesus? Because he's the one who redeemed us. He's the one. We can't redeem ourselves. If you want to know whether you can redeem yourself, just stand there, undo your shoelaces, and see if you can lift yourself off the ground. You can't. And sin has so heavily weighed us in this world that it is only Jesus who can redeem us. And because he redeems us, we're going to fly one day. Amen. To be with him. Never forget what Jesus has done for you. But also the Bible says in 1 Peter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Then it speaks about Jesus. It says, by whose stripes you were healed. By his stripes you were healed. Nobody else, not the church. No. Not some divine healer, no. By Jesus' stripes. And if it's by his stripes, then it's in his name which gives the authority for us to be healed. In fact, the Bible tells us that whatever we pray about, whatever we pray about, and whatever we do, it should be in the name of Jesus. That's why we baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Very simple. Why? He was the one who died on the cross for our sins. He's the one who paid the price. And he is the one who stamps our salvation as paid. Paid. Nothing you can do yourself. Nothing anybody else can do. You can go to counsellors, even go to Christian counsellors, and they may direct you to Jesus. But in the end, it's Jesus who forgives. It's Jesus who saves. It's Jesus who heals. It's Jesus who performs miracles. And it's Jesus who is here today. Amen. Nobody else. No bishop. No pope. No anybody else. Only Jesus. He's the one. So my recommendation to you today is that if you need something from God, you call upon Jesus. Amen? The man who was blind heard that Jesus was passing by. Everybody else was trying to be religious. But he wasn't. He yelled out at the top of his voice, "Have mercy upon me!" They said, "Be quiet. Be quiet, you're a blind man. No, but Jesus is not interested in you. Have mercy upon me! Jesus, have mercy upon me!" And Jesus heard it. And Jesus is still listening to people that will cry out. Now, because he's Lord, you must understand something else. And that is, you can't command the work of his hands. It's all with him. Some people say, well, I prayed. Yes, you prayed. Okay. And some people say, once you've prayed, never pray again. Well, that's not exactly true. You can keep on praying because the blind man kept on shouting. You can keep praying, but remember that the very first time you prayed and asked God, he heard. And if it's in God's plan to do something about this, he will do it. He will do it. I don't care if it's cancer, and Sister Downs has seen people delivered of cancer. We have seen many, many miracles happen. Amen. You know, some people are surprised. I had a lady come here once in that church back there, had a cancer on her face. Now, we are human. I'm about to tell this story to explain that we are human. So all these people are lined up, and I came to this sister and I said, how can we pray for you? She said, I have a cancer on my face. And I thought, oh, you know, I'm a pastor. The cancer, it takes a special prayer to deal with cancer. Does it? Does it really take a special care? So I'm saying to God, Lord, you have to give me some special words here to pray for a cancer on face. And I couldn't get anything. Nothing. In fact, my mind just went blank. So I just said to her, I said, put your finger on it. And she put her finger on it. I laid my hand upon her hand. And the only words that came to my mind, I curse this in Jesus' name. And I couldn't think of anything else to say. So I moved on to the next person. And she looked at me as if, is that all you're going to pray? This is cancer. And I remember feeling very disturbed about it. Because I'm human, see. And she was human. But Jesus heard that. Then she rang that afternoon. She said, I was just standing here washing my dishes up and that thing dropped off my face into the wash-up water. So I'm just telling you this story because we don't think on the same level as the way that God's going to do things. And don't get upset if your humanity gets in the road of something. The man who had a son that was tormented, Jesus said, do you believe? And he was honest. He said to Jesus, I believe, but help my unbelief. And God honored that. See, it wasn't negated by the fact that he had a little bit of unbelief. He was honest. And Jesus knows our position. He knows we're fleshy. He knows we're incapable of thinking at the level that he can work. All right. Now, okay, now don't be thinking to yourself, well, I can't get up because God only did a little thing in my life. Well, the very fact that God did anything in your life is quite a miraculous thing, isn't it? Amen. So I'm asking you, Pastor Downs wanted this. He wanted everybody to be encouraged in the fact that God hears our prayers, or sometimes he directs us in miraculous ways. And sometimes we think, man, that was the hand of God. And I never ever realized it. Why? Because he loves you. He's just going to help you in everyday things in your life. Put up your hand if you'd like. And I'll bring the microphone to you. Okay, David, the rule is we've got to be brief. Okay.
I'd like to praise the Lord for delivering me and also finding a way, of salvation. I've been coming for 19 years now. I'm so glad I have the power and true word of God in my life, and he's answered my prayers abundantly, and always trust him. He will never let us down. And also, may I also add, don't put anyone else on the pillow. Put the Lord Jesus on the pillow, because everyone else will let you down sooner, but the Lord Jesus never will.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Now, David will forgive me, but David was born with a particular problem. But he came to Jesus. He's got a problem in his life. But he came to Jesus, and he comes to this church, and people love him. Amen? We love him. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, and he's saying he loves Jesus. That's what he said. All right, Brother Sarantos.
Thank you, Bishop. In 1975, I was born again by word and spirit, and I had a tremendous experience with God. And I wanted my parents to be saved too, my family. So I wrote to my parents and I pray. and I say, I received the Spirit of God. I was born again. And my mother wrote me back, says, we want it too. We want to be baptized. We want to be saved too. So because my parents, they were living back in Greece, so I flew back to Greece, and I got the missionary from Athens, and we baptized them in the name of Jesus. And I was so glad about that. My parents, before they die, they were born again. Thank you, Jesus.
Never underestimate the longing that people have in their hearts. You think they don't want to know anything about it, but given an opportunity, they will reach out to you and ask you of that which is happening in your life that they can see through your everyday life. Brother Vincent.
I have three beautiful ladies in my life. Most of you know them. And God loves us so much, and I believe they'll be back in church soon. They had an accident. For those who know the story, the car was cut into half, but the three ladies survived. And I can never be more grateful to God for giving me my family.
Now, Brother Vincent is a scientist. Does that hinder you from being a Christian? No. In fact, it gives you a bit more help on your way. All right. He's a forensic scientist. Sister Kate.
Don't have my back to people. For those of you who don't know, I'm Kate. I live in Myanmar, and I'm married to a Myanmar man. I just want to share when I had my baby. I have a baby. He's almost 1 year old. And we were actually planning to have him here in Australia. And my husband couldn't get a visa to come here. So we prayed about that. I still wanted to have my baby in Australia because good healthcare system, support from the government, my family and friends all around, my church around, I thought that was the smartest option. So we prayed about it, but God said, have your baby in Myanmar. So anyone who knows anything about Myanmar, it's a third world country. It was under military oppression for 60 years, so there's very limited everything, knowledge, services, and very limited support for a foreigner from Australia. So I had to have my baby in Myanmar. We decided to obey God, and it was very difficult. God blessed us with a smooth delivery and a healthy baby, which we praise God for, but afterwards was really difficult, having no family and friends around, having no support from anyone. But that was a very dark time in my life. But it was the time when God's light shined the most. And when I was the most alone, God was there. And I had to go back to work 3 weeks after having my baby because there's no Centrelink. There's no paid parental leave, and I had no family. So I was working for a few weeks when my church found out that I was working, and the pastor's wife said, you can't be working. So the church gathered together, and they provided for us until he was 2 months old. And every time we were down to our last $10, someone would just come and hand us money. And I've never seen the provision of God more than I had at that time. And so now I know if God tells me to do something, he's not going to leave me alone, struggling, that he's going to provide every step of the way.
Amen. He said he will never see his children begging bread. Never. never will he see his children begging bread. You've all heard about the $50, haven't you? You see, I'm human again. I'm just waiting for somebody else to put their hand up. I was preaching in Melbourne, and we had to drive back to Canberra. I only had $50 in my wallet, and I'm asked to preach, and I believe that when you're preaching, you always put an offering in. So that meant, sister, if I didn't get this $50 changed into smaller change, everything was going to go in the offering. So I went down to my wife in the congregation. I said, darling, I need to change this $50 so I can put something in the offering. That means I still needed to have money to buy some food on the way back to Canberra. Well, people surrounded us and my wife got caught up. And I'm standing there and the pastor said, we're going to take up the offering. I go, my $50. Well, I thought, well, here goes. So the plate came around, in went the $50. In a way, a bit begrudgingly, I was thinking, why did my wife forget to change my money? So when we got in the motor car later on, I said, well, we're going to be very hungry people all the way back to Canberra because I've got no money. And she said, well, I've got no money either. Probably that's why she couldn't change the money for me. So we were driving back and we got into a country town. We're really hungry. So I said, okay, I'll go through the suitcase. You go through your purse, look in the ashtray of the car. We went right through the whole car. We could actually find enough money to buy 2 junior burgers. That's in small change. So we went into McDonald's and bought 2 junior burgers. We're sitting there and my wife was looking out the window of McDonald's. She said, what's that blowing through the car park? You've never seen me move so quick. I ran in the car park, put my foot on it. Nobody was chasing it. And I said, thank you, Jesus. You see, nobody ever owes God anything. Never. He can repay. Brother Jeremy, here we go.
Thank you very much. In 1970 to 72, I was here in Canberra, and I was a very busy press secretary at Parliament House, and I got a phone call from Dr. Fontes, who was then John Gordon's physician, and he said, unfortunately, your wife has malignant cancer and will not live very long. I had 2 very small babies, and she didn't live, but I can tell you that I had tremendous strength through prayer to God to take me through that terrible existence. I had no relations here, but we got back to Perth. And then I suppose in the latter years when I remarried, my wife's a very busy, successful carer, but I got told, you've got to stay at home. You've got to be the dad around the house. And I said, God, I don't want to do that. I want to go, I'm going to make a career and be ambitious. You will stay at home. Well, I'm only doing what other dads do, but it's worked out. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Your name?
Monica.
Yes.
Sorry. 3 years ago, when there was a big earthquake happened in Nepal, and I call in Nepal to my dad, but he's not answering phone. And then my house, our parents' house was complete. I heard next day the parents' house was completely collapsed. I mean, gone, got turned to the rubbles. And then we still couldn't hear from my dad, and I was so worried. And talked to my sister. She's also so worried. And we try to contact the what is called the rescue worker, and next day they found the mobile, but still my dad, they couldn't find my dad's the dead body. So I was so worried. I was can't stop thinking what could happen to him. You know, I was thinking if he has gone, that means he hasn't gone very far because they found a mobile. So I was thinking if he has gone to the market, which is like 10 minutes walk, on the way, still there's no way he can be survived. So, you know, because there is a very small lane and there's tall house both sides. So still, and I was worried that if he can't find his body, what to do, you know? What are my mom gonna do? And we can't do the ritual things. And I was so, so worried, and I started to pray God and said, God, if he is survived, please, you know, like, please we can find him, like, in the, without any major damage, like losing hands or arms. In that old age, it'll be so hard to him to tolerate the his whole house gone. And if he's died, at least we can see his dead body, you know, like. I was praying, and next day we heard that the dead body was found. And then when they took all the rubbles out underneath, and the hole so many deep, and I got so relieved that, you know, at least we found that he's died so easily, not suffer. Like they found a big stick was gone from the forehead and coming back from the back of the head. So that means I just could a little bit, you know, feel relief that he didn't suffer. Yes, thanks God. Yeah.
There's power in prayer. Has anybody ever been healed by God? All right. There's a couple here. Let the redeemed say so.
I knew this church from about 30 years ago, but kept leaving and coming back and leaving and coming back. And about 3 years before I actually really did come back and stay, the Lord was telling me to come back, and in my stubbornness, I didn't. Anyhow, eventually, I came back, and just in time, I have a terrible habit. I'll go to a doctor and get a blood test, and I won't find the results. And I don't go back and find out. I just don't want to know. I don't want to deal with it in case it's something horrible I don't want to hear. But little did I know, I had cancer in the uterus. And my leaving it, don't want to know, left it to the point where it was too late. And I just made it back to the church because 6 months later, God healed it. He healed it. I had I have another issue. It's ongoing. But I was at the hospital having a test, and I had an MRI thing, and it was to test to see if my bowels were working normal and what could be done to help there. But the machine went lower, and later on, that's how they found out that I had this cancer. And the machine doesn't go that low. So right then and there, there was something, and they were like, it doesn't, this test doesn't show that. You need to go to the doctors. And I went to the doctors, and you have cancer. She didn't really say. She wanted to send me off for another test, and I never went until I was cleaning out my bag and I saw the note, you know, the note that doctors write for to have an ultrasound. Oh, and on it had written ultrasound for cancer, to see if you have cancer. And that's when it dawned on me. And I asked God, and he told me, cancer. And I went down the front to get prayer, because for 5 days I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? I don't want to go to the doctors. What am I going to do? Until we were coming up. And I saw the church, and I had a plan, and I knew, I'm going to ask God. So I came into the church, and I told our pastor what I was doing, and he said, you need to go to the doctor. I said, I am at the doctor's. And I went, and I sat down, and as soon as church started, I asked the Lord, Lord, do I have cancer? God goes, cancer. And I was like, oh. So I went down the front. I got prayer, and I could feel the Lord doing something straight away. And that night, I'd wake up during the night to find myself praying, and God was healing me. And the next day when I woke up, I found myself thanking the Lord for the healing. And I'm here, and I asked God sincerely, Lord, was this fatal? Was this going to, you know, And he said, yeah, Tommy, yeah. So I'm here to watch my kids grow up, get married, have grandkids, enjoy life. Life is such a gift, and you don't know what you have. You look outside and you see the trees and the birds, and we get annoyed in the morning because they're singing, because they wake us up too early. You know what? It's a gift. Embrace it, because it's life we get to now. I don't know. It's just brought me closer to God. I just love him so much.
The little boy that just came up to the front here, does anybody know that little boy? Okay, he just came through the door and walked in there, did he? Okay, that's good. We just need to check. Sorry. Just the Downs, yeah. Okay. Amen. God can deliver of cancer. Not even... I mean, if he can do anything, he can do everything. No limits. All right. I did bring a testimony to read to you, because to many this would seem the impossible. But I once knew a man, a very ordinary man. He's passed away. He was a preacher. And in his lifetime, in the middle of Australia, where there's no medical help, nothing else but Jesus, three people were raised from the dead. One of them was a child that had a broken neck from falling off a bed. Another one was a small child that was sick. And this one that I'm going to read about was a man. I have since met the man, since he was raised from the dead. And he knew what had happened to him. He knew it. And I'm going to read about him. Brother Ray.
He'd came down.
All right, so that situation's okay. Would you like me to read the youth story? Because shortly after this happened, he told me on the telephone, I was on the Flying Doctor Service radio talking to him, and he told me about it. I said, well, you need to send me a tape. And I have the tape at home, cassette tape. And at that particular time, I typed out what was on the tape. And here is the document that I typed it on in 1981. Now, that was a long time ago. Brother John Henwood was a missionary that God called to go to the outback of Australia and preach to the Aboriginal people. For a long time, he saw no results. He was a bushman. He was not a man of the city. He was a man who was very much used to being in the desert. And many, many things happen. But he'll never ever tell you that he did it. Never would he ever say that. Because again, when things happened, he wasn't planning for them to happen. So I now read, just to let you know some of the things that have happened recently. Just before Christmas, we had a meeting at Wake Creek. That was where he had the mission. And there were people present from Yundamu, which is 100 miles away. There were 19 people baptised, most of them out of the Baptist Church, and some of them leading members. Then he says, a man died, and we prayed for him, and glory to God, he is now living and walking with the Lord. So this man was an unbeliever. His name was Old Paddy. Out there they have rather strange names. The chief of the tribe was called Tiger. And one of the other elders of the tribe was called Mosquito. But you get used to this man's name was Old Paddy. So, and unfortunately, there was another man there I knew who only had one leg. They called him Peg Leg. So, you'd never do that today, would you? What actually happened is he was out of the camp. He was out in the bush praying and fasting. So what he used to do is take his vehicle and his bedroll, and he would go into the bush and pray and seek God. And they came looking for him, and that's where we take up this part of the story. When I came down into the camp, the people were weeping and wailing, and the ones who were not in the church were bashing their heads, and blood was pouring out. His wife was doing this too. On the way down, I had a feeling that something must have been wrong. So this is when he was on the way back to the camp. He didn't know exactly what the problem was. And the Lord gave me a real peace, a peace which is beyond the peace which we have in our daily walk with the Lord. The Lord came upon me with a real anointing. And when I got there, the racket was intense, that I told them to cut it out. And that's not, I actually could not put the words that he said in there. He actually told them to shut up, cut it out, and if they wanted to do something worthwhile, they should pray. Praise the Lord, they did. And that's when I felt led of the Lord to pray. He had a swelling in his stomach down to his groin, and whatever it was, it caused him to die. His body was stiff, because this had happened quite some time beforehand, rigor mortis, and it was cold, and there was no heartbeat, and he was not breathing. The Lord gave me a real confidence, and I began praying in the Spirit, meaning he prayed in tongues. I put my hand on his chest and prayed, and could feel his very cold body. Then the warmth started coming back. There seemed to be a heater turned on under his skin. Glorious. Then he began to breathe. Then his eyes opened. The following day, he was up and about. The illness was gone. Everything. He was building his new humpy, digging holes and putting in the posts. He looked really fit. So God completely healed him of everything and of death. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. This was witnessed by everybody in the camp. And this news went right throughout the whole of the Northern Territory. Many, many people were saved as a result of this miracle that had happened. So about a year later, I was talking to Brother Henwood about it. Because when you read it like this, you just think it just happened like that. So I was talking to him about it, and I said, "You know, it's amazing that all just happened." "Oh," he said, "it didn't happen just like that." He said, "When God told me to lay hands on this man and pray in the Spirit, I laid my hands on him and I prayed for 5 hours. 5 hours he was praying." But he said, "I knew God was going to hear my prayer." See, that puts another dimension to this. Would you pray for 5 hours? Or would you just say, "Come on, God, I want the answer right now"? Sometimes to get the answer from God calls upon us to pray, to show how much we trust him and our faith in him. Because it's not just about getting a physical healing. It's about also something developing in us, which is called trust and faith. Because while God's doing something, he's also trying to develop us into knowing that God can do it. The Bible says that we should be patient. If you've prayed it, God's heard it. I don't say you can pray again. You can pray as many times as you want to. But he did hear it the first time. Every time you pray after that is showing God how desperate you are to hear from him, which is only natural, isn't it? Amen. You don't go to the doctor once. You go back as many times as necessary. So we've done this today because I want to provoke the people in this church, and I think the pastor does too, to be a little bit more vocal with the things that God has done. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, say so. If you've got a healing, say so. If Jesus has done something in your life, say so. It's time for the church to speak up and be heard, not just in church, but also in our places of occupation. Amen. And in the schools and in our neighbourhoods. Let's all stand and we'll pray together. The Bible says, if there be any sick among you, let them call for the elders, and they will anoint you with oil. So there's a place to actually come and receive prayer in church. If you can get to church, then this is the place for you to be, so you can be prayed for. If you can't get to church, well then I'm pretty sure that either the pastors or the elders will come and pray for you, and that's why we visit hospital. But it's not limited just to the ministry. It's not just limited to pastors and ministers. It's everybody, because the Bible says that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Then it says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Put up your hand if you're a believer. Okay, this is talking about you, all right? These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. And they shall speak with new tongues. This is the bit where we get a bit, well, I'm not sure about that. But it says, they shall take up serpents. Okay, I mean, we don't bring snakes to church, do we? Okay, I'm going to explain that in a second. And it says, then, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. It's not just talking about taking up snakes. This is only an example. Daniel, when he was put in the lion's den, there weren't snakes in there. There was a lion in there, and it did not hurt him. Although back in these days, one common way of dealing with Christians was to throw them in a snake pit. Back in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, it was the lion pit. But if you know a little bit about history, you know that Christians were subjected not only to things which are external, that is, like snakes, but also things internal. That if you drink any deadly thing, God will take care of it. There's a story of a man, a Christian man in Russia. I believe it's true. It was a widespread story. And he would not renounce his Christianity. So they said to him, if you do not renounce your Christianity, this is back in the days of communism, then you're going to have to drink this deadly drink. And he said he would not renounce. So they brought the guard dog in and they put the poison in the guard dog's mouth, and the guard dog fell on the ground and after a period of time died. He would not renounce Jesus. So they gave him the cup and forced it into his mouth, and it never hurt him. It never hurt him. There are sometimes Jesus wants to show that we really are the children of God. And it says, and they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Who's a believer? Put up your hand if you're a believer. That's you. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. When you're at work and somebody says, I'm not feeling well today, just say, let me pray for you. Put your hand upon them and pray. You don't have to pray in a demonstrative way so all the office can hear it. Just pray, because God's trying to show them that not only are you a Christian, but you're connected with God, who is the one that does the delivering. So we thank you for this, Lord. Jesus, we thank you that you just didn't leave us here, but that, Lord, we have a work to do, to preach the gospel. Lord, to lay hands on the sick and to show them that your power is still here today. Thank you for these testimonies. Thank you for your goodness. Go with us, we pray. And Lord, help us to understand that we are your children and therefore you never leave us or forsake us. We pray this in Jesus' name, and everyone said, Amen. God bless you.